On Trending 55, we are speaking right now with the Solicitor General and Justice Minister of Alberta, Mr. Doug Schweitzer. As always, Minister, thank you for taking the time to be with us today.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
All right. So I guess the first question is that we know you've been taking a lot of tours, and I guess you have an update for us on the rural crime situation and some of the initiatives you're throwing out there. What's some of the new news you got for us?
Well, a couple of new things to update on. We made a lot of announcements last fall as a provincial government. And we're already starting to see implementation take place. We announced that we'd have an additional 500 law enforcement personnel hired through our new partnership with municipalities, and we've already got 20 new police officers hired in the province, and you're going to continue to see more police officers hired in rural communities across Alberta. So people should start to see, you know, more boots on the ground here and start to see a noticeable difference over the summer and fall as this program continues to be implemented, and that'll grow for the next 3-4 years until we get up to that additional 500 law enforcement personnel in Alberta. So that's really encouraging. Training's ongoing on our rapid force to get 400 sheriffs trained up to make sure that they can help respond to emergency situations. So that's ongoing, and it's still on track to be operational this fall. Plus now, you know, through the good work in these town halls, it really drove home to us that we needed to work with the federal government. There's certain issues that are beyond our provincial control. At the last meeting of justice ministers, we established a working group that I'm now co-chairing. I'm co-chairing the group with our federal public safety minister to develop a national rural crime strategy. We're going to look at criminal code amendments. We're also going to look at how do we keep dangerous drugs like meth out of Canada. One of the main drivers of rural crime is the use of the drug meth. It makes people more violent, as well as, you know, increases their likelihood of committing property crimes to steal drugs to feed their addictions.
Yeah, and I guess in saying that too, especially when we're talking about the issues of rural crime, do you find that there's like a lot of synergies between you and your colleagues across different provinces and territories, and I guess the recognition of rural crime? I guess the big question is that do they recognize it as much as the Alberta government does?
Well, you know what? I was actually pretty amazed at the meeting when all the justice ministers came together that, you know, from coast to coast, we had rural crime is a big issue. So, you know, it's more pronounced on the prairie provinces, so Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, but even British Columbia, you know, places in the Maritimes, you know, Quebec, Ontario, you know, other places are still seeing similar instances of increases in rural crime, and it requires a national response. So I was encouraged by the response of my colleagues from around the country, and that's why we have this as a working group, and we're due to report back in October. That's the next meeting of the ministers, and we're going to have a report then with some recommendations on how to tackle rural crime as a country.
Okay, and I guess also something like that too. I know one of the things that you introduced very quickly and very swiftly when there were blockades, and that's Bill 1. And in saying the whole thing with Bill 1, which is basically, you know, protecting critical infrastructure from any sort of blockades or anything like that,
yep.
The response was very swift on your part. And I know you would, on TV, you would have suggested that your colleagues around the country think about implementing similar legislation. I know the Justice Minister and Manitoba, Mr. Cullen, was indicating that he's looking into it. Have you seen anyone else that are considering similar legislation to, you know, stop these types of things from happening in the future?
We've had a couple of provinces reach out to learn a little bit more about what we're doing with our Critical Infrastructure Defense Act. And yeah, again, we're encouraging, you know, justice ministers and governments from coast to coast to take similar action. We simply can't have a situation where people feel like they can block critical infrastructure. People have a right to work. We have a right to the ability to ship our products and our goods. And nobody has the right to get in their way. If they want to, you know, protest on the side of the road, they want to hold up a banner, they want to come to the legislature, you know, fill your boots. But you don't have the right to, you know, basically stop people from being able to provide for their families. You just don't have that right.
Yeah, fair enough. But I guess, as you said, and it's, I guess, important to reiterate that, is that there is, I guess, in the Charter, freedom of assembly and, you know, freedom of speech, freedom of protest. So, as you said before, if somebody does want to protest in the legislature or somewhere where they're not getting in the way, more than welcome.
Yeah, completely. If they want to, you know, hold it at a park, or if they want to come to the, you know, city hall or come to their town council for a meeting, they can come and do those things respectfully, hopefully. But you know what? You don't have the right to block, you know, the ability to develop infrastructure. You don't have the right to block roads and all these things indefinitely. You just don't have that right.
Okay, awesome. And also, I guess the next one is that you had mentioned as well that the big arguments coming up in the Supreme Court at the end of this month about the jurisdiction of the federal government when it comes to the federal carbon tax. And I know you had mentioned it as well, and I think I had read something Talk to me a little bit about 92A, a section, I believe, in the Constitution that I believe it was former Premier Peter Lougheed that was responsible for putting that in there. And do you believe that that particular part of the Constitution, or wherever that is critical in an argument?
Well, at a most basic level, I mean, that 92A that Peter Lougheed, one of our former premiers, put into the Constitution, or fought so hard to put into the Constitution, protects our ability to develop our resources in the province of Alberta. You know, what our highest court in this province, the Alberta Court of Appeal, when it ruled against the carbon tax, it said that what they're trying to do, what the federal government is trying to do here, is a Trojan horse, which would effectively end the validity of the division of powers as we know it. It would turn 150 years plus of our country and how we've operated on its head. We simply can't have that. So I'm hopeful that the Supreme Court will listen to the Alberta Court of Appeal's reasoning when they finally hear this matter in March. Typically speaking, a court will wait, you know, kind of 3 to 9 months to issue their reasons after hearing a case as complex as this one. But you know what? After having the Alberta Court of Appeals decision out there, I'm more encouraged. Hopefully we can, you know, win the day at the Supreme Court.
Do you think that, now we know that the Alberta Court was extremely swift in their decision. Do you expect that same type of swiftness from the Supreme Court of Canada, or would you be more expecting of that, you know, 3, 6, maybe even 9 month delay between when the closing arguments are given versus when a verdict is rendered?
You know what, I really just want to make sure that they get it right. You know, 3, 6, 9 months is probably the right zone for how long it'll take them to provide their reasons. The Alberta Court of Appeal did work, and I want to thank them for their quick work that they did provide on this. They knew that the matter was scheduled to be heard at the Supreme Court in March, and they worked extremely hard working with counsel to get the decision out in advance of that, which is critical for Alberta.
All right, Minister, anything else you would like to add on the justice file that I might have forgotten?
No, appreciate it. We're heading towards some snow down south here, so hopefully you guys can avoid that snow up north.
I don't think we see it here. So, as always, Minister, we really thank you for the time, and thanks for joining us on Training 55 today.
My pleasure.